Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to news of Planet of the Apes, and as usual, there's plenty of it, terrifying the entire world, especially our election. So I have tons of news for you today. Just wanted to let you know, some of you have asked, the show with Joe Anthony is up on site, Stars Are Us, that's our monthly show on astrology coming up and how that is going to enter into the mix, so you might want to go back in and listen to it. That's the beauty of this site. You can go back in and listen to shows from years and years ago. Next week, Roaring Truth is back with myself and Professor Jim Fetzer. It's always a hot show. I have David Icke coming on the following week. I have John Potash coming on the end of the month. We've got some great shows lined up for you. Also, today at 1:20 Mountain Time, I will be Richie Allen's guest on the Richie Allen Show, so you may want to tune in to that. So, as I always say, lots of news, might as well get to it. Okay, well, this morning they rolled out, believe it or not, Mitt Romney. Yep, Mitt Romney's coming out. And whether he's been asked by the GOP or not, it looks like it's every man for themselves in that party this election season. And he called Donald Trump a phony and a fraud. And in a speech he gave, he urged Republicans to rally around another candidate. Well, who are the other candidates? One crazier than the other? And it looks like at least Ben Carson will be stepping down. I don't understand. These men said their God chose them to be president. So I guess their God isn't all-powerful or omnipotent as they think. But maybe we just got a Hail Mary from God. That is something to think about. Okay, earthquakes since Monday. East Timor this morning, a 5.6. Southwest of Sumatra, Indonesia, they got hammered yesterday with a 7.9. Tsunami warnings, not pleasant there. South of the Kermadec Islands, a 5.7 on the first. So the earth still moves and very few pay attention, sort of like most Americans, I hate to say it. Okay, well, isn't this an interesting turn of events? The Justice Department has given immunity to the staffer who set up Clinton's email server. So somebody's going to take the fall, and you know it's not going to be Hillary. But in the meantime, the Justice Department decided to give immunity to the former State Department staffer who worked on Clinton's private email server as part of a criminal investigation into the possible mishandling of classified information. This is running for president. Meanwhile, the White House is supposedly vetting a judge in Iowa for the Supreme Court. Obama's vetting Jane Kelly. She's a federal appellate judge in Iowa as a potential nominee for the Supreme Court, weighing a selection that could pose an awkward dilemma for her home state Senator Charles Grassley, who's pledged to block the president from filling the vacancy. And that's all the GOP has done in the past 8 years, maybe longer, is called obstructionism. And yet they get away with it. And they want another Republican as president so we can go right into dominionism or the Christian version of Sharia law. Okay, the Koch brothers, what are they up to? I guess they're wasting a lot of money on candidates that haven't got a chance in hell. But not just that, they want to attack the Grand Canyon. The dark money group backed by Charles and David Koch is behind a well-funded effort to undermine protections at the Grand Canyon and overturn the Antiquities Act that Teddy Roosevelt used to permanently protect the Grand Canyon in 1908. If these pigs are successful, the campaign could stop a permanent ban on uranium mining near the canyon's rim. The Grand Canyon up for sale. What else is going on? Six New Jersey newspapers. You know, when you're hated in your own state, like most New Yorkers detest Donald Trump because they know him. Well, it's the same for the people in New Jersey. And now six New Jersey newspapers are calling for Chris Christie to resign. Six papers, including the Asbury Park Press and the Cherry Hill Courier Post, published a joint editorial calling on Christie to resign as governor in the wake of his Trump endorsement and his failed presidential campaign. Well, wouldn't that be great? But we'll see what happens to Trump's little puppy dog or his own little Charlotte the Pig. All right, let's get over to God's chosen people. The youngest prisoner now being held in Israel by the chosen ones is a 12-year-old Palestinian girl. Yes, you can't make this stuff up. Israel's military court sentenced Dima Alwawi to 4.5 months in prison, which makes her the youngest inmate in Israel, where the age of criminal responsibility starts at 12. It ends at the top, unfortunately. With no criminal record, she was charged with attempted voluntary murder. Are you ready for that charge? For carrying a knife. Maybe she took an apple to school, if the Palestinians can even find one. But she's rotting in jail in Israel because they're the chosen ones following their wicked God's orders. Okay, let's get over to another story that I say stinks to high heaven. At the very least, the guy committed suicide. At the very most, maybe his car was hit with a weapon. Aubrey McClendon, was 56. He was the ex-chief of Chesapeake Energy, and he died in a car crash, a single car crash, when his car drove into a bridge the day after he was indicted. He had built a fortune in shale gas across the country. So I'm sure there's plenty to see there, but that's the story they're giving us. He drove his car into a bridge. Meanwhile, Ben Carson, another man chosen by God, sees no path forward and signals an end to his bid for president. The same guy that was number two, 2 months ago? He briefly led the polls last year and signaled an end to his candidacy after failing to win any nominating contest so far. Like I say, what happened? I thought God picked him. Like Cruz, Cruz will be also gone the way of the wind. That's my opinion. Okay, let's get over to the Supreme Court, where it looks like it could get downright ugly as they hear a Texas abortion case. They never end with this crap, even though it was 1973. It's like the Republicans, you know, never ending. I think they did 71 waste of time and money efforts to stop Obamacare. That's what they waste their time on. The Supreme Court Wednesday appeared sharply and divided in their first major abortion case in almost a decade, one that has the potential to revise constitutional standards and affect millions of women. See, they couldn't kill Roe versus Wade, so now they're killing access to clinics by forcing clinics to go through all kinds of hoops that dentists should be going through, because you have more of a chance of dying in your dentist chair than in an abortion clinic. But this is the war on women and the war on poor. As Justice Ruth Ginsburg says, the rich women always get what they want, and that this is a war on the poor. God love her. We need more women on the Supreme Court, like 9. Anyway, several justices seem frustrated by gaps in the factual records presented to them. The 3 more conservative justices say there's little evidence that clinics have closed or would close because of the law. Are they blind? How many stories have I done on how many clinics are closing? Some states only have 2 left. Some have 10. Huge states with millions of women. Okay, this is unbelievable to me. Anyway, Anthony Kennedy, justice, who also holds the crucial vote, mused it might be useful to return the case to the lower courts to develop more evidence. He said it would help to know how many abortions could be performed in the clinics that would remain open if a restrictive Texas law was allowed to become fully effective. Can he read the stats online? I mean, is this guy that stupid? This is why we have to have term limits for these men, okay? The court's 4 liberal justices were adamant that the restrictions imposed by the law serve no medical purpose and can't pass constitutional muster. Well, Scalia's death last month might have muted the prospect of truly bold action. Even a 4-4 tie, though, would have enormous consequences because it would leave in place an appeals court decision that could drive down the number of clinics in Texas to about 10 from roughly 40. The new case concerns 2 parts of the Texas law with strict requirements on abortion providers, passed by none other than the guy who just got off with a felony, Rick Perry, that useless piece of shit. One part of the law requires all clinics in the state to meet the standards for ambulatory surgical centers, including regulations concerning the buildings, equipment, and staffing. The other one requires doctors to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. And well, most hospitals are owned by Catholic firms, and they wouldn't allow that, so what's the point? The clinics challenged the law, saying it's already caused about half of the state's 41 abortion clinics to close. Maybe that's not enough evidence for Justice Kennedy. If the contested provisions take full effect, the number of clinics again would be halved. Well, the Supreme Court's decision is supposed to arrive in late June as the campaign for president enters its final stretch, so abortion should get knocked to the forefront of public debate. And like I say, any woman that votes Republican needs to get her head examined, okay? She's not a woman. She doesn't understand sisterhood. She doesn't understand anything. That's the way I say it. Stepford women in this country, all ruined by religious philosophies, beliefs, and make-believe gods and make-believe rules to keep everybody under control. Remember what Napoleon said about religion. Religion was invented to keep the poor from murdering the rich. So now we have not just Fukushima radiating us from the West, but we also have Indian Point nuclear power plant radiating the country from the East. Look out, New York, is all I have to say, and every single state around New York State. E&E News, shocking number of cancers around the leaking nuclear plant near New York City, which of course would have been a great target if we had real terrorists on 9/11 instead of the half-empty World Trade Center. They flew right over it, could have taken out four or five states. Tens of thousands of cancer cases being reported, more than anywhere else in the United States, and yet it's not being covered. Of course, it's always being covered here. One teacher that was interviewed said, "I can't believe the number of teachers who have gotten cancer." Listen, it seems like the new cancer epidemic is lung and brain cancer at the same time. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the heavy metals they're spraying on us every day. And let's not forget the reptilian radioactivity all over the planet. So every bad movie of the past 50 years is about to hit the fan, my friends. Uncontrollable radioactive flow coming from the nuclear plant near New York City. The actual releases are trillions of times higher than reported during the latest leak. There are cracks in multiple spent fuel pools. Intense investigation is underway to see if it can be stopped, just like Fukushima. The uncontrollable radioactive flow from Indian Point continues to contaminate the Hudson River. No matter where you live, uncontrollable radioactive flow isn't a phrase you want to hear when it's your local water source. According to the Huffington Post, for more than a decade, the Indian Point plant's been unable to prevent its highly radioactive reactor and spent fuel pool coolant from leaking into the groundwater routes that eventually lead into the Hudson River. Entergy, the operator of the plant, seems to zero in solely on tritium. The most recent leak, however, according to an assessment by the New York Department of State, contains a variety of radioactive elements, such as strontium-90, cesium-137, cobalt-60, and nickel-63, in addition to tritium. And that's what's happening in New York, okay? One place to the other, from sea to shining sea. This is their idea of America. When I warned 40 years ago the dangers of nuclear danger, nobody wanted to hear it. A lot of environmentalist groups thought it was clean energy. Well, it's pretty clean now. It's going to clean up the whole planet. So let's take a look at the Hudson River, okay? There's no indication the company's developed the ability to prevent the latest uncontrolled leaks from flowing into the underground waterway into the Hudson. And because the river is a tidal estuary flowing as much as 20 miles above and below the nuclear site, radioactive contaminants may be sucked into the drinking water systems of several river towns. And there you have it, on and on and on. And by the time they figure out what's happening, everybody will have three heads. And there you go. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, 5 years later, Fukushima is still spilling toxic nuclear waste into the sea. But now they say top executives are facing criminal charges. Three former executives of TEPCO were indicted Monday for allegedly failing to prevent the tsunami-sparked crisis at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. Tsunami-sparked, sure. Sure looked like mini nukes to me, and David Icke was the first one to call that one. Let's get over to the bullshit of Super Tuesday, okay? God, I hate watching this. I hate covering elections, but here we go. And I will tell you this, this is the worst election I have ever had to cover. I have never seen such morons, such babyish, my dick is bigger than yours, assholes running for office. There's no debate on any issues. They're all ripping each other to shreds. And still, Trump comes out on top. With big victories for Trump across the map, and Bernie comes through and states that raises electability questions about Hillary's campaign. Bernie won four states, Vermont, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Minnesota, far more than anyone expected in Democratic circles. Hillary, it seems, looks like votes were thrown in six states that she supposedly won. No surprise there. They're stealing the votes now at this low level of the election. Imagine when it gets down to the day. Well, we're supposed to believe Hillary, with her fake Southern accent, won the South, from Virginia to Georgia to Arkansas and Texas, and we're supposed to believe she did well amongst Black and Latino voters. Well, everyone I've seen interviewed on TV, every Black Latino voter, has said that there's no way in hell they would vote for Hillary. Sanders' surprising wins outside Vermont showed that Clinton has weak spots in her candidacy. Yes, she's it. Trump, meanwhile, expanded his grip on the GOP nomination, won seven states. Rubio and Cruz had very minimal successes. Cruz did win his home state in Oklahoma and Alaska. Rubio lost Virginia and only won Minnesota. So why don't you go away, Rubio? Let's start really getting down and dirty and just end up with two people I can rip to pieces. Anyway, on the Democratic side, Clinton's got 544 delegates compared to Sanders' 349 delegates, which doesn't include the super delegates. On the Republican side, Trump's beaten everybody to death, pretty much. He's got twice as many as Cruz, 285 to 161. Rubio's got 87. Kasich, who's a real bastard, has 25. And Ben Carson had 8. And Trump sure looks like he's on track to get the nomination, even though his own party doesn't want him there. Okay, well, you created him, now you deal with him, is the way I see it. Let's get over to the Zika virus and how it's clashing with the Catholic Church. Imagine being a woman who knows that the baby inside of you is either going to be born without a brain, shrunken head, or dead, and you have to fear trying to get an abortion not to have that child. It's a life of hell for the child and a life of hell for the family, let alone expensive, where most Americans can't afford their own friggin' dinners at night. But imagine having to choose between a brain-damaged baby and an eternity in hell. Well, I'm going to give you a clue. My mama told me a long time ago, Maria, there is no hell. This is it. When she said that all those years ago, I thought my mother was nuts. And now I know she was right. Anyway, over the last 1,500 years, the church, which of course is all about men and pedophiles, has promoted wacky, harmful ideas about sex and reproduction, which is probably why they have so many pedophiles in the church. But any Catholic parent or prospective parent facing the nightmare of Zika should know the relevant Catholic history and theology are far from unequivocal, and that few Catholics believe that using contraception puts anyone's soul at risk. In fact, the Pope himself is now weighing in on the side of sanctioning contraception during the Zika pandemic. But, you know, who is he? That's what I say. You know, you don't play the game, don't make the rules, and who knows what they all do under their dresses. Evidence linking Zika to microcephaly is growing, as is the concern Zika may cause lesser forms of brain damage, even when fetal cranium size is normal. Governments in plague-infected countries have advised women to delay pregnancy, but thanks to the influence of the church, many desperate women have few options for managing their fertility and risk prison if they abort a high-risk pregnancy. And that's all because of the patriarchal religions to keep women barefoot and pregnant. According to the Guttmacher Institution, Latin America and Caribbean countries have the world's highest rates of unintended pregnancy. And remember, worldwide, 40% of all pregnancies are unintended. And many women lack the power to deny sex to partners who demand it. Almost a third of women in the region report intimate partner violence. In other words, rape. You know, although we have GOP assholes who say you can't get pregnant when you're raped. Zika shines a harsh spotlight on the church's disempowerment of women and perversive global interference in family planning policy. I notice that no one ever talks about overpopulation. I think I'm the only show in the world that ever covers that. And the picture isn't pretty. Individual Catholics now have to weigh their spiritual priorities in light of their own lives and their own loves. Well, I don't think anything to do with the Catholic Church is spiritual. It's a religion. It's a cult. It's a control mechanism, like they all are. Remember, God's chosen people have a 12-year-old girl in prison for carrying a knife. All right, let's see what else we've got. Let's see how they're trying to throw the election already at this early state. I can't believe it. They're not even waiting for the Supreme Court to pick the president. Democratic voters in Georgia were given Republican ballots on Super Tuesday. Voters got ballots for the wrong party in at least one state. In Georgia, they're worried about voting issues after being mistakenly on purpose, given Republican ballots when they were registered Democrats. Brianna Flina, who is a voter in Lowndes County, said she was upset and unsure of whether her vote was counted, even though poll workers said the problem was fixed. She said, "I show up, I fill out the paper, I give it to the man at the counter. Next, I was given a card to insert in the machine, and when I pulled up the screen, I realized I was given the wrong ballot." Flina says she looked around and noticed others having the same issue. She said, "It turns out that anyone voting Democrat received a Republican ballot. After making some phone calls, we were told we could fix it, but we were showing up in the system as voted when none of us had casted our ballots." How's that feel? Screaming about stolen elections since 2000. Why are people surprised now? Has it really taken 16 years for them to get wind of this? Election supervisor Deb Cox blamed the problem on voter error, of course. And hanging chads, maybe that'll be next. The voter said she filled it out correctly and she's angry. She said they were then given sheets that read to find out if your vote counted. She said, "If my vote counted." She said, "As a citizen, I met all the requirements for my vote to count." She says, "I'm beyond upset." And it's not the first report of problems with voting at the primaries. As I said last week, a lot of people's votes were being flipped from Trump to Rubio. So welcome to the election debacle. But of course, then you have to say, well, if all these whack jobs are voting and the regular people don't vote, then the whack jobs start sort to look like, well, America voted for these people. So I'm going to do what I usually do. I'm going to go into the voting room and I'm going to vote against everybody. That's what I do. I vote against everybody. And if there's an independent choice, I click that. And of course, I'm going to vote on the propositions because I don't think that those seem to get thrown, but you never know, okay? And I also like to see the ugly Republicans in my town at the voting booth, and I'm like the least likely person that they'd ever want to talk to about the election. Paul Ryan came out, fired a warning shot at Donald Trump and his own party. Even as Republican voters went to the polls, which was a sweeping Super Tuesday for Trump, House Speaker Paul Ryan stood before reporters and issued a stark warning to Trump and members of his own party. He said, "When I see something that runs counter to who we are as a party and as a country, I will speak up. So today I want to be very clear about something," said Ryan. He said, "If a person wants to be the nominee of the Republican Party, there could be no evasion and no games. They must reject any group or cause that's built on bigotry, obviously." Talking about the KKK supporting Trump and David Duke. He said, "This party doesn't prey on people's prejudices." Really? Has this guy been paying attention? He said, "We appeal to their highest ideals. This is the party of Lincoln." Well, Lincoln's dead, and the party is also dead. He said, "This is fundamental, and if someone wants to be our nominee, they have to understand this, and I hope this is the last time I need to speak out on this race." He appeared heartfelt in his denunciations, which were clearly aimed at Trump's failure to disavow David Duke and the KKK, or, you know, using his Twitter feed to promote the rantings of racists. And Ryan deserves credit for doing this, just as he denounced Trump's ban on non-citizen Muslims from entering the country. And there's little doubt Ryan personally finds Trumpism horrifying. Of course, he also declared that at the end of the day, his plan is to support the nominee no matter who it ends up being. So he showed a little bit of balls and then, bam, fell right flat on his face. All right, let's get over to the FBI and Apple. The FBI wants Apple to open the phones. Apple has already won in a court case that they don't have to. And now the FBI, forever bungling idiots that I have called them since I was 17, had to admit that they created the mistake on San Bernardino's attackers, supposed attackers. I have no doubt those two people had nothing to do with what happened in San Bernardino. But it was the error of the FBI. By mistake, oops, they had locked the iPhone of the supposed shooters. And the head of the FBI acknowledged this week his agency lost a chance to capture data from the iPhone used by one of the alleged attackers when it ordered his password to the online storage service iCloud be reset shortly after the rampage. There was a mistake made in the 24 hours after the attack, said James Comey, the director of the FBI. Yeah, you made a mistake by being born, but hey, here you are. Anyway, he told lawmakers that at a hearing of the government's attempt to force Apple to help unlock the iPhone. Well, the FBI, remember, forever bungling idiots, personnel apparently believed that by resetting the iCloud password, they could get access to the info stored on the phone. Well, nothing's ever stored on the phone except maybe your pictures, my friends. It's all on the cloud. Instead, the change had the opposite effect. It locked them out and eliminated other means of getting in. So maybe there is a God. Maybe there's an Apple God. All right, a suspicious envelope with some powdery substance in it hit the U.S. Customs Office in Alameda. Dozens of people were quarantined. Three people got sick when they opened the envelope in the U.S. Customs Office. An emergency call was made reporting the employee feeling sick immediately after opening the envelope. Wow, what are they doing, rolling out anthrax again like they did after 9/11? Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe it was just mind over matter. You know, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Anyhow, crazy stuff. Okay, so let's see what else we've got. Let's go over to those holy Catholics that don't want women to have birth control or abortion rights or any rights. Let's see what their finest got busted with this week. Okay, and this time we go to Pennsylvania. Two bishops hid sex abuse of hundreds of children in Pennsylvania. This according to the grand jury trying a case. Two Catholic bishops who led a small Pennsylvania diocese helped cover up the sexual abuse of hundreds of children by more than 50 priests and other religious leaders over a 40-year period, according to a grand jury report that portrays the church as holding such sway over law enforcement that it even helped select a police chief. Well, I say tax the Vatican and tax all churches, tax all religions, and lock these pedophile bastards up for the rest of their lives. And yet, women are still going to follow blindly in these religions and let them tell them what they can and cannot do with their bodies. But I guess, you know, like I say, you know, they're probably against abortion because they need those children to abuse and rape. And there you have it. Okay, I'm going to take a short break. When I get back, it's not looking too good for the world economy when I give you the next story coming back. So stay with me. I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to News of Planet of the Apes. And back to the story I was going to tell you. Not only do we have hundreds of Walmarts, which is really a bad sign when Walmarts start going bust. It's the cheapest stores that most people are forced to either work now as slaves at or shop at because they can't afford to shop anywhere else if they work there. A sign of a terrible economy. I remember saying, God, got to be 10 years ago. You can't be a consumer if you don't have any money to consume. But I guess the planners didn't plan far enough in advance. So let's get over to China. I mean, here in America, we hear about 1,000 people being laid off here, 1,500 being laid off there. Well, look at this. China is going to lay off 5 to 6 million workers. China said they're going to lay off 5 to 6 million state workers over the next 2 to 3 years as part of efforts to curb industrial overcapacity and pollution. This is Beijing's boldest retrenchment program in almost 2 decades, okay? Because nobody's buying the cheap crap out of China because nobody has any money. Well, what are those 5 and 6 million state workers supposed to do? Think about it, because sooner or later, when the robots are fully formed, nobody will have a job. And then I guess the whole human race becomes expendable, except for the fabulous interbred bloodlines of the lowest scum that ever has lived on the face of the earth. Okay, Matt Taibbi in Rolling Stone wrote a great article. I'm going to give you some of it because it's quite lengthy. Most of what's in Rolling Stone or Mother Jones usually is. Revenge of the Simple, How George W. Bush Gave Rise to Trump. He said, Bush was just an appetizer. Trump is the main course, if you hear GOP insiders tell it. Doomsday is here. If Trump scores high in the Super Tuesday, it'll mark the beginning of the end of the Republican Party and perhaps the presidency. But Trump isn't the beginning of the end. George W. was, you know, the idiot king. The amazing anti-miracle of the Bush presidency is what makes today's nightmare possible. People forget what an extraordinary thing it was that Bush was president. W. wasn't merely ignorant when compared with other politicians or famous people. No, he would have stood out as dumb in just about any setting. But Washington's freaking out about Trump in a way they never did about Bush. Because Bush was their moron, while Trump is his own moron. And that's what it comes down to. And all of the beltways hooting and hollering about how embarrassing and dangerous Trump is will fall on deaf ears, because as gullible as Americans can be, they're smart enough to remember being told that it was okay to vote for Bush, a man capable of losing at tic-tac-toe. We're about to enter a dark period in the history of the American experiment. The founding fathers never imagined an electorate raised on toddlers and tiaras and Temptation Island. Remember, just a few decades ago, shows like Married with Children and Roseanne were satirical parodies. Now the audience can't even handle that much irony. A lot of American culture is just dumb slobs cheering on other dumb slobs. It was inevitable once we broke the seal with Bush that our politics would become the same thing. No argument out of me. Idiocracy is now a documentary instead of a comedy. Hugh Hefner's son has come out of the woodwork and started calling on his fellow millennials to stop Donald Trump. He says he doesn't care about the American public. I don't know how people can't see it. And yet I have people in my own family that are cheering on Donald Trump, so I try not to talk to them. That's the best thing I could do. Otherwise, we get into a scream fight, and I'm not really interested. I'm just disappointed. But you know what? They're the same people that get all their news on Fox News, MSNBC. So their programming is so locked in their heads, it doesn't even pay to try to argue with these people. All right, a little bit more from ENE News. This was actually in the LA Times. there is an ongoing fish famine along the U.S. West Coast and a dearth of food across the ocean. They say there's severe fishery implosion. The supply has been low since 2011. And government experts say it's very grim and hard to watch. Well, what else happened in 2011? Oh, Fukushima, something no one wants to talk about. Where are the candidates talking about Fukushima or Indian Point nuclear power plant? Oh, they're nowhere because they're reptiles too, and they probably love it. They probably think it's a bump up in the oxygen level for them. Hillary, of course, acting like Bernie Sanders doesn't exist. Even before Super Tuesday, she was already trying to figure out how to beat Donald Trump. You can't even get over it. So like I say, listen, the fix is in. As far as I'm concerned, they probably promised it to Hillary when Obama took it, or they put Obama in, and now it's her turn. So what better reason to have Trump running than pushing Hillary into office? Hey, I could be wrong, but you never know. Meanwhile, I said it a little earlier, a judge did rule in favor of Apple in the case involving the locked iPhone. A federal judge in New York ruled in favor of Apple on Monday, saying that an obscure colonial-era law didn't authorize him to force Apple to lift data from the iPhone at the government's request. The ruling's not binding in any other court, but it does take on a big importance as the U.S. government battles Apple in a separate case in California over whether the tech firm should help unlock a phone used by one of the supposed shooters in the San Bernardino attack in December. Well, the judge said he would not force Apple to assist in a drug probe. This is another case that they want Apple to unlock the phones for cops. In a New York case mirroring the legal wrangling unfolding into the San Bernardino shooting, the U.S. Magistrate Judge James Orenstein denied a request from federal prosecutors that he make Apple unlock a drug dealer's iPhone. And, you know, they act like they're not spying on everything and recording everything you say anyway. So that's just, to me, just seems like more of a smokescreen than a story, but I'm going to report on it anyway. Okay, take a breath. More than one-third of people shot by the LAPD in 2015 were mentally ill. Well, I would say that most of those cops are mentally ill, but they still walk. I see the cop that murdered Sandra Bland finally lost his job, was fired, but that doesn't mean he can't get hired by another police station. And they're supposedly now reopening Sandra Bland's case as a murder investigation. Well, we'll see what happens there. Anyway, more than one-third of the people, human beings, American citizens, not consumers, shot by LA police last year had documented signs of mental illness, triple the number from the year before. And that's how the cops deal with you're mentally ill. So if you've got a family member that is mentally ill and starts freaking out or maybe holding a broom, I would not call the police because they will come and say, we don't have time for this, and shoot them dead. And that's what happens. I've reported way too many of those stories. And I hope that one day I won't have to report any of them, but I think I know better. Let's get over to San Francisco. San Francisco deputies have finally been charged in their jail fight club case, you know, where they let the people in jail force them to beat the shit out of each other while the guards watched, like something out of Fight Club on, you know, the end of the world. Though two San Francisco sheriff's deputies and a former deputy were charged Tuesday with participating in a fight club in which jail inmates were forced to pummel each other while the guards watched and probably jerked off. District Attorney George Gaston, who announced the charges, said the deputies committed serious crimes that damaged the moral authority of law enforcement, as if there is any. Subjecting inmates who are in the care and custody of the state to degrading and inhumane treatment makes a mockery of our justice system, said the district attorney, who was joined by the FBI special agent in charge, David Johnson. The charge stems from gladiator-style fights staged last year in the county jail. They came to light when inmates complained to the San Francisco Public Defender's Office, Well, former deputy Scott New was charged with felony counts of assault and making criminal threats and misdemeanor charges of cruelty to a prisoner and failure to perform an official duty. New was fired as a result of the incident and faces a maximum of 10 years and 2 months in prison. Or maybe somebody will put him in a fight club and he'll get the shit kicked out of him. Deputy Eugene Jones was charged with felony counts of directing the assaults and with misdemeanors of failing to perform an official duty. He faces 5 years behind bars. Deputy Clifford Chiba, who reportedly gave an inmate fight tips, was charged with misdemeanor counts of cruel punishment of a prisoner and failure to perform an official duty. He faces 1.5 years behind bars. Well, I can tell you this, cops don't do well on the inside. So if they're smart, they might just want to look for suicide by cop themselves, because it'll be downright ugly when their asses are on the inside. Okay, let's get over to know who rules you as to who you cannot talk against. And once again, we go back to the chosen ones and pumping and using their Holocaust for 60 years of benefits to themselves at the detriment of the rest of the world. Let's get over to the UK. Israel boycott ban. Shunning Israeli goods is now going to become a criminal offense for public bodies and student unions. Local councils, public bodies, and even some university student units are to be banned by law from boycotting unethical companies. And you know it's always about the Israeli companies. This is now being announced by the government of the UK. Under the plan, all publicly funded institutions will lose the freedom to refuse to buy goods and services from companies involved in the arms trade, fossil fuels, tobacco products, or Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. So they're going to what? Force you to buy their shit? Any public bodies that continue to pursue boycotts will face severe penalties. Senior government sources say they're cracking down on town hall boycotts because they undermine good community relations, poison and polarize debate, and fuel, here it is, anti-Semitism. But critics say the move amounts to a gross attack on democratic freedoms. A spokesperson for the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, said the government's decision to ban councils and other public bodies from divesting from trade or investments they regard as unethical is an attack on local democracy. People have the right to elect local representatives able to make decisions free of central government political control, and that includes withdrawal of investments or procurements on ethical and human rights grounds. And here's your one world order on hyperspeed, my friends. All right, here we go. Salt Lake City, let's go down to Mormon town. Police shoot a 17-year-old teenager for refusing to drop a broomstick. The cop only got arrested today on charge of attempted murder because of the protest. And some cops, of course, trying to say because it's because of political correctness. No, it's because you killed a 17-year-old kid. On Saturday night, 2 Salt Lake City officers shot a black teenager in his torso because he refused orders to drop his weapon. The kid was holding a broomstick. The shooting left the teenager in critical condition, and then the clashes began between protesters and police. And I'm going to take a wild guess that cops in Salt Lake City are all white, because I live in a Mormon town, and if you're not a Mormon, you're not getting on the police department here either. All right, a famous Time magazine photographer was attacked by Secret Service at a Trump rally. You may have seen the video online already. And I say, Sig Heil, Heil Hitler. We live in a country where when you're interviewing Trump fans and giving them quotes by Hitler and saying Trump said it, and you hear their reaction being behind it, and they don't even find out that they're actual Hitler quotes at the end, that's how stupid this country has become, and that's what they parade around on TV. A member of the U.S. Secret Service attacked a Time magazine photographer at a Trump rally, grabbing his neck and slamming him to the ground. He violently assaulted veteran photojournalist Christopher Morris on Monday at a rally in Radford University in Virginia for Trump. The incident, caught on video, is a testament to the brutality of law enforcement forces and the violent climate whipped up at the rallies of their right-wing demagogue. Morris has documented over 18 foreign conflicts, including Iraq, the Persian Gulf War, Afghanistan, Somalia, Yugoslavia, and Chechnya. He's extensively documented both the Bush and Obama administrations, and then he got his ass kicked at a Trump rally. In a statement, Morris said, "I've worked for 9 years at the White House and never had an altercation with the Secret Service. The agent's response was disproportionate and unnecessarily violent." He said, "I hope this incident helps call attention to the challenges of press access." Well, he wasn't the only one. A whole bunch of black college students were kicked out of a Trump rally in Georgia for no reason. Well, they were standing while black in their own school. A group of 30 black Valdosta State University students removed from Trump rally Monday before the event began. The kids said, "We didn't plan to do anything," said one 19-year-old. They said, "This is Trump's property. It's a private event." But the kids said, "But I paid my tuition to be here." And afterwards, when they interviewed these kids, they talked about how scared shitless they are that this happened to them and what's going to happen to all of them if Trump becomes president. Can't blame them there. Davis and the other students were reportedly asked to leave the event by a Secret Service agent hours after footage circulated online showing them attacking that photojournalist at the Trump event in Virginia. The Register noted that black students at the event were also kicked out of the event after they chanted, "No more hate, no more hate, let's be equal, let's be great." Well, Trump should change his slogan to "Making America Hate Again," because that's what he's really doing. That plus, I'm sure, all the heavy metals they're blowing in the air to make everybody crazier than they normally are. Anyway, interestingly enough, the university this happened to was segregated until 1963. The kid said, "I've never experienced any racism on this campus until now." Well, welcome to Trump world. Welcome to idiocracy. Never have I been more disgusted or embarrassed of my country than this year. Never. Okay, absolutely never. So let's get to Austin, Texas, okay? An Austin radio station got flooded with phone calls with reports of people saying voting machines switched their votes from Trump to Rubio. KLBJ got about a half dozen complaints Tuesday that the voting machines had changed their votes. Well, when I interviewed Cliff Curtis, the guy who designed the software for flipping votes, but he didn't know they were going to use it to flip votes, everybody said we were conspiracy freaks. Well, you know what, America, you get what you deserve. As I continue to tell even some of my close friends, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. Anyway, the votes were being flipped from Donald Trump to Marco Rubio. The host said three callers already had complained about their vote being switched, and then someone else said it was switched from Trump to Linda Gray. And this is how it goes in our democracy. Sure, there's another word that has no meaning. All right, let's get over to one of our favorite allies who we give money to, the people that had a big part in 9/11, the Saudi Arabians, okay? They're our pal. They're our allies. Well, let's take a look at our allies. Saudi Arabia sentences a man to 10 years and 2,000 lashes for posting atheist tweets. Criminalized as a terrorist because he denied the existence of God on Twitter, a 28-year-old Saudi man was recently sentenced to 10 years in prison and 2,000 lashes. And instead of denying he wrote the tweets or apologizing, he stood up for his right to express his views while refusing to repent. The guy's a hero, but they're going to whip him down. The Saudi Religious Police Force, known as the Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice, discovered over 600 tweets posted by him. Arrested for denying the existence of God on Twitter. This will happen here too, make no mistake about it. Accusing the prophets of lying and asserting their teachings encourage warfare. The man stated in court he has the right to express his beliefs and he would not recant in order to get leniency. Well, enforcing a strict interpretation of Sharia law, which you can switch out for Christian law, Christian Taliban law here in a few years, the Saudi government enacted anti-terrorism laws designed to silence dissenters and quash public protest. Coming to a town near you, my friends, there's a prediction you can take to the bank. Fearing a resurgence of the Arab Spring, the Saudi government now equates atheism to terrorism due to the fact the separation of mosque and state doesn't exist in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't exist here either, but people still think it does. Besides tracking down atheists on Twitter, the Saudi religious police also arrest people accused of practicing magic, witchcraft, or sorcery. In 2012 alone, the religious police apprehended 215 sorcerers. Okay, witch hunts are back on, my friends. Maybe they never went away in the Middle East. Caught with illegal contraband, including magic books and talismans, one person was beheaded for committing witchcraft and sorcery. What century are we living in, my friend? And yet, with assistance from the NSA, why do they hate us? The Saudi government started receiving U.S. signals intelligence in December of 2012. And by giving them technical assistance and decryption tools, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, gave the Saudi government the ability to improve their surveillance systems and spyware against political dissidents, bloggers, and human rights activists. And these are the people that we support. And now this guy gets 10 years in prison, fined over $5,000, and then he has to endure 2,000 lashes, which are routinely broken up into 50 public floggings every week. Isn't that special? These are the people that we support. Unable to distinguish between witches, protesters, atheists, and sorcerers, the Saudi monarchy is clearly out of their goddamn minds. And that story's on activistpost.com. Well written. Don't argue with it. All right. While Flint, Michigan's water is all lead poisoned out, I got this story, posted it right away so my friends here could understand what's happening here. Heavy metal poisoning could make Phoenix the next Flint. Suffering from heavy metal poisoning, Gerald Gaines said the heavy metal poisoning in Maricopa County is more severe than Flint, Michigan. He sold his medical marijuana and depression recovery business before moving to downtown Phoenix in 2013. He said the tap water in his 85003 zip code is responsible for heavy metal poisoning that almost killed him. He said the poisoning in the valley is worse than Flint, Michigan. The water and air are so polluted. Well, I said, I have been filming chemtrails every day in a row. So there's where a lot of that poison's coming from, my friends. He said mental illness and violence are clearly statistically due to the heavy metal poisoning that's going on. They're just not testing for it. You're living in Flint. Flint is cleaner than where you're living. Within 6 months of moving from Scottsdale, where he said he was tired of living amongst the anti-color people, can't blame him there, to downtown Phoenix, he said his blood pressure skyrocketed, his mood changed, and his liver and kidneys started to fail. Well, downtown Phoenix is not lily white like Scottsdale, so I'm sure they're getting garbage water. I've never drank tap water in this state. When you can see the water and you can smell the water, you'd be an idiot to drink it. Anyway, he said that because he never installed the reverse osmosis system in his home and drank city tap water and breathed the bad air, he said, I am the canary in the coal mine. He lived in downtown Phoenix till September of 2015, trying to figure out why he was feeling so sick. And when he finally got heavy metal testing in Durango, Colorado, he started putting the pieces together. He had so much lead in his blood that his blood pressure was 240 over 130. And that article is from bizjournals.com. I'll post a link here if you wanted to send that to any of your friends or people you know in Phoenix. But trust me, this is a nationwide problem. Our infrastructure is older than the hills and they don't give a shit. Remember, no lives matter. Taser International doing record business, another embarrassment out of Scottsdale, Arizona, and they're reporting record quarterly revenues on their stun guns, but even more money on the camera bookings, okay? You know all those cameras they want on cops? We always follow the money. Well, their body-worn cameras are up, and they're making money like nobody's business. Just in their camera department there. Revenue increased $3 million over the past year. Unbelievable. So humans have no problem selling out their neighbors to make a buck, and that's the way it goes. All right, cyber attack, they want us to believe, happened in the Ukraine this week. May be true, may not be true, or it could be one of those fear stories that Homeland Security's putting out to get us ready for when they do a cyber attack on us and blame it on somebody else. A Homeland Security unit said the cyber attack was synchronized and coordinated and likely carried out following extensive recognizance of the victim's network. And it left parts of Western Ukraine without power, according to U.S. officials. The cyber attack, who are they going to blame it on? Russia? Maybe it's the U.S. homeland insecurity behind it. Left more than 250,000 people in the dark for 2 days before Christmas last year. And they say it was caused by remote intrusions at three regional electric power distribution companies. But then, who's telling us this? Homeland Security. And of course, they're going to tell us that sooner or later that could happen here. All right, one of you sent me a link to a short video called The Secret Covenant, which pretty much shows you Agenda 21 on hyperspeed. I'm going to put a link to that here today. Go in and watch the video. It's well worth the watch. A lot of people that have seen it have already commented to me, and they were not happy. Last but not least, the rise of stupid Trump spooks Europe as the comedic sideshow now turns serious. Europe's past bemusement at the rise of Trump is now concern as he's gaining ground in what observers say is a warning to traditional parties about ignoring populists. A German foreign minister, Steinmeier, this week spoke about the politics of fear in the U.S. campaign in a thinly veiled reference to Trump and drew parallels to the rise of European demagogues. He said, in Germany and Europe, something is gaining momentum in our domestic politics. And to be honest, I'm seeing it here in the United States during the campaign. It's the politics of fear. European commentators issuing increasingly stark warnings as the once improbable prospect of Trump clinching the nomination looks more likely. A Financial Times columnist, Martin Wolf, said it would be a global disaster if Trump becomes president, calling him grossly unqualified, a promoter of paranoid fantasies, a xenophobe, and an ignoramus. He drew possible historical comparisons with the end of the Roman Republic and even the rise of Adolf Hitler. He said American Caesarism has now become flesh. It seems a worrying real danger today. The nightmare continues, ran a headline in the Frankfurt newspaper, where Der Spiegel said Trump was the leader of an authoritarian movement full of hatred, and that his America would be frightening. Well, so far, the America he's exposed is pretty frightening enough. Anyhow, that's news of Planet of the Apes. Don't forget to tune in to Richie Allen's show at 1:20 Mountain Time today. I will be his first guest. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.